Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 205, The Spirit of the Cross, Forgiveness. Guest Minister Colleen Doyle delivered this message on Sunday morning, July 18th, 2021, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
It's a true honor to be here and to have spent these days with you. And I'm getting to know you, I'm getting to love you, and I'm going to wave you goodbye tomorrow. And I'm very sad. I would love to stay much, much longer. Thank you for your hospitality. Thank you for your love. Thank you for being you and being free in Jesus. It's amazing. Pastor Harley said, I've been a number of places and preached the gospel and ministered. And the amazing thing is, the thing that connects us, or the person that connects us, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that makes us family instantly. You know, I go into villages in Africa and Vietnam and cities in Indonesia and other places, and instantly, it doesn't matter if the people are educated or if they can even read and write, and most of them can't speak English, so the interpreter tags along. We are one, and that is just such an incredible miracle. It's an incredible miracle. And I love that, and I love that he's done that with my heart and yours too. I feel very, very privileged. I'm the most unqualified to be doing what I'm doing. I didn't have a university education. Sarah was telling me before how she was really nervous to stand and speak. Well, I was the girl in high school who, if she was asked to read something from a book, I would go read, shake, cry, and sit down. You wouldn't believe it today, would you? And when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, that's when I became me. Isn't that amazing what the Holy Spirit does in us? And I knew then that that power of you shall receive power. It's not just the power to do the miracles of God. It is. But it's the power to become who God created you to be. That was a good aside, wasn't it?
Yes.
This morning, Sarah, too, you said about getting stuck in the stadium. And you found the guy with the key to release you. You said we needed to find the guy to get us unstuck. We needed the key to get us out of where we were and to be where we needed to be. And this morning, I'm going to preach a message that will do that very thing for you. This morning I'm going to preach a life-changing message. And for us in this room and the world on Facebook and my brothers and sisters in Cuba, we all have need of this, deeply rooted in our lives. And not only a one-time thing, but something that we need to do over and over and over. Because we live in a world where things are not always perfect. Can anybody agree about that with me? Amen. And I'm going to speak this morning about the spirit of the cross, forgiveness. You know, Derek Prince, whom you may know, he was a great statesman, an Englishman with a very cultured British accent, who spoke very well, and you listened to his sermons, and sometimes you felt like they were a little like wheat or chaff. But if you could hear through the accent and the monotone, you would hear truth. You would hear incredible depth of revelation and wisdom from the Lord. And he said this: the greatest single barrier to full peace and perfect rest is unforgiveness. I'll say it again. The single greatest barrier to peace and perfect rest is unforgiveness. And I would be crazy if I didn't turn my computer back on. I would be crazy if I didn't admit that I struggle with forgiving people from time to time. I'm human. We live in a fallen world. And you're the same as me, aren't you? Yeah. But as we forgive, we show Christ's love to those who we need to forgive. And I need to just open my Bible here. And you open yours too in Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to read verses 21 to 35. It's a slightly longer passage, but we need to read this to get the perspective. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. Peter came to Jesus and said, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" He thought he was being gallant, saying, "Up to seven times." Well, we've all exceeded that many times, haven't we? Jesus said, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, just like he had begged his master, 'Be patient with me and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had the same mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, the master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he paid back what he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Father, as we break open your word this morning, let the Spirit of God, let the anointing of the Holy Ghost come upon your word and upon our hearts, that you would search out and seek out any places where we need to activate forgiveness today. Thank you for your mercy that you have forgiven us. Thank you for your mercy that you've forgiven me much. And Lord, I pray today that your word would be a life changer, not just for people present, but for the world who looks at this on YouTube and Facebook. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I actually have to change my page. I'm sorry. I picked up the wrong one. Isn't that naughty? Can you forgive me?
Yes.
Thank you. Ah, from your heart. You're practicing. Well done. Colossians 3 verse 13 says, "We do not love to be loved in return, but we have been loved by God." But because we have been loved by God. And forgiveness is a great act of love. New Testament standards Bible says, "As I have loved you, love. As I have forgiven you, forgive." New Age says, "If it feels good, do it. If it doesn't feel good, don't do it." And I know from experience that forgiveness is not always feel good. It's an act of our will. And when we forgive, it actually gives us the opportunity to see the offenses of others in a positive light, to understand the brokenness of another person, and to understand that God uses everything for his purposes. See Joseph, a man with a great destiny, a man that was called by God as a young boy, and he wasn't wise with the information he gave to his brothers and his father about what God had showed him. We can be like that, can't we? Speak out of turn. Say a bit more than we should. And his brothers took this and were offended at him and said, we're going to kill him. Let's get rid of him. He's not going to rule over us. So he ended up in a pit, in a prison. And the miracle of this story isn't so much that he ended up being the ruler. One of the amazing miracles of this story is that he forgave his brothers. What a miracle when they did that to him. And he willingly forgave them and gave to them in their time of need. It would be very human for him to punish them for being so cruel and to mock them and ridicule them when they came to the palace looking for food. But he forgave them, gave to them. Jesus hanging on the cross. Last words. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Whoa. How many times has somebody done, said something to you that's really hurt you, and you've been able to say those words with such grace and mercy? It's hard, isn't it? It's hard. But the grace of God and the encouragement from the scriptures that is how we need to live will enable you to forgive anything. I've had to forgive some real big things in my life. Real big things. And I have to say, I walk through my life today, there's no unforgiveness in my heart. And it's not because I'm great. It's not because I'm any different to any other human being that's been desperately hurt. It's because the grace and mercy of God has forgiven me. And Jesus is my example. He's yours too. Where but the cross can we see such a great exhibition of forgiveness? Where but the cross can we see such a huge offense and mercy being shown to the offenders? You see, many offenses that come to us, especially in church life, people don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. I'm sure people have said that about me. I've said things, maybe the wrong inflection. I'm an administrator. And if I've got a task, I can be really task-oriented and actually be so task-oriented that I kind of forget about the people that are serving sometimes. I'm learning. But those of you that can be task-oriented can move on into the task, and somehow just people get a little bit brushed away on the edges. You know what I mean. And I'm sure that people that have served in places where I have been organizing things have felt, oh, she doesn't care. No, she doesn't know what she's doing to you. Father, forgive me, because I didn't know what I was doing. You know, we are human. I'm not divine yet. I'm going to make mistakes, and so are you. But we are learning, and when we realize that's what's happening, and I'm coming to greater and greater realization of how to love people even when I'm doing a task. But it's a learning process. Oh, the pastor didn't speak to me on Sunday. Yeah, maybe his heart was burdened for what God wants to do through him in the service or her in the service. Maybe he just had bad news about someone in his family who was in a difficult or desperate situation. Maybe he saw someone down the back that had been in the church only one time before and he wanted to engage with them and connect with them. And he knows that you're faithful and you'll come back next week because you love the church and you love the church family. But he didn't talk to me. Suck it up. Yes. 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 Shall I say it again? Yes. There's no offense meant in those situations at all. You know, if we know there's a need to forgive and we will not, those scriptures that we read indicate the wrath of God is going to come. That is if we intentionally will not forgive. Have you ever prayed the Lord's Prayer? Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those that trespass against me. Forgive me my sins as I forgive those that sin against me. You're inviting God not to forgive you if you will not forgive others. I've been betrayed. I've suffered spiritual abuse. The medical profession did some things when my son was in surgery that left him in really bad shape for the rest of his life. I was in the leadership of a church, and when I was away on a missions trip, I came back and I wasn't in the leadership of that church. Like, what? I've had lots of reasons to forgive. Bless you. But God uses potentially bitter experiences to build forgiveness into our characters. It's got to be part of our character. It's not part of your personality because you're human and you don't want to forgive. Because it feels good not to sometimes. And I have said, I forgive, almost biting my tongue until blood is dripping down the sides of my mouth as an act of my will. That's what we all need to do. Let it go. Let it go. Every offense that we suffer, every tragedy that's brought into our lives by another person, every pain that comes from someone else, whether they know they're doing it or they don't, it's an opportunity to transfer my expectation from my fellow human beings to God. It's an opportunity. Take an opportunity. And the opportunity to exercise the kind of love and mercy that God showed to me when he forgave me, made me his child, brought me into my kingdom life, gave me his presence and his power. I don't deserve any of it. You don't deserve any of it. But God's unlimited grace and mercy and love for you and me brought us into that place. I'm forgiven. And that's what I can offer to everyone else in my world. 70 times 7, eh? Every 2 minutes? I hope none of you are living in those sort of disasters. But you see, God knows how readily we rehearse and go over and over and over those things that have hurt us. How we bore that unforgiveness deeper and deeper into our hearts. and how it can affect us mentally, emotionally, and physically. People have been known to be healed when they forgave. That's huge. Why would you hang on to something, unforgiveness and your sick body, just for the sake of punishing someone else? Because you're punishing yourself. Do you remember someone saying to you, "I forgive you"? Do you remember how it felt? Do you remember the burden that was lifted off you? Unforgiven people carry a burden. They carry a weight of guilt if they know they've done things. And when we give those three words of grace and mercy, "I forgive you," that burden is lifted. And it releases the other person. The interesting thing is, strangers don't hurt me. I actually don't care what they do. But my family and the family of God, that's where the greatest pain comes, because I've let them into my heart. I've let them get close. And the closer they are, the more they can hurt us. But if we won't forgive, we're torturing ourselves and the person we don't forgive. Here's a great analogy of unforgiveness. You drink a cup of poison and expect the other person to die. Yeah. Oh, that doesn't work. You drink a cup of poison and expect the other person to die. The only person that's going to suffer and die on the inside is you, if you will not forgive. I've had the very unfortunate experience of ministering to people who for 30 or 40 years have held unforgiveness and bitterness. That's tragic. When they could have shed that burden and all the associated problems that come with it in a moment. Nothing is worth that weight. Nothing is worth that burden. If you had an illness for 30 or 40 years, you'd do everything you could to get healed of it. But an illness of the soul, of unforgiveness, people sometimes feel they have a right to hang on to it. You have no rights to hang on to unforgiveness. There is no right, there's no reason, there's no sense in hanging on to it. Because Jesus has forgiven you much. It's an uneven balance if you hang on to unforgiveness. And forgiveness has actually got nothing to do with right and wrong. It's got everything to do with the offense and the sin that somebody has committed in offending and hurting us. And when we realize that, and we determine, "I'm not going to carry on in that. I'm offended, but I'm not going to stay offended." We release ourselves, and we've got that key that Sarah talked about to get us out of stuck and into where we need to go. Unforgiveness also fosters a victim attitude in life. Poor me. Poor me. My husband left me. Poor me. Lost my job. It was unfair. They shouldn't have done that to me. I didn't do anything to lose my job. Poor me. Life's just awful. You can remain a victim or you can become a victor. Amen. It's up to you. And if we follow God's principles, we can walk every day in victory. We can walk through life. You're still going to get smacked around by life. Welcome to our future. It's going to happen. But if we follow God's principles and quickly forgive, we walk free and victorious. joyous and joyful. I've learnt that. You see, a victim attitude says something or someone else has lordship of a part of my life. There's only one person who has the lordship of my life, and it's my Jesus. He's the Lord of my life. I'm not giving unforgiveness any lordship. And whatever has lordship is an idol. Unforgiveness can be an idol in your life because you look at it. You caress it. You see how it's going today. See where it's placed in your life. That cup of poison is doing a really great job if you're doing that. The other person is not going to die. You are. And as a Christian, you actually have many, many rights. You have the right and the privilege and the inheritance of forgiveness and healing and the presence of God and an awesome Christian family and mercy and grace. But there's some rights you don't have. And one right you don't have is a grudge and unforgiveness. It's illegal in the spirit. It's illegal in the spirit. I'm grabbing some unforgiveness today by the power of the Holy Ghost, and you're going to let it go. You're going to let it go on Facebook and around the world as you hear this. And your life is going to change. And I'm not actually going to pray for anybody at the end of this service. You're going to do business with God. If you're in your home watching this, if you're in some place, you might have your phone or your tablet on your knee in the train on the way to work in Singapore. I don't know where you are, but you do business with God and set yourself free from unforgiveness and resentment and bitterness today in Jesus' name. Saul, who became Paul, he helped to stone Stephen. What a nasty, horrible, wicked, evil man doing nasty, horrible, evil acts of murder. And he became Paul. What a transformation in his life. And that sort of transformation is what we can expect when we are forgiven and forgive. Why do we do it? We don't do it because it feels good, because it mostly doesn't. When I came back from my missions trip and I wasn't on the leadership of that church, which was a fabulous church with wonderful people, it had been through a terrible time. The pastor left suddenly under very dark circumstances, and we nursed the church through that awful situation. When that happened, boy, did I need to forgive. It didn't feel good at all. I learned some lessons. But you see, Jesus is my defense in that. God's the judge, not me. I'm not the judge. And when I forgive, this is a really cool point. It blocks the plan of the devil to take you further down the track of bitterness and makes a way for the Holy Spirit to work in and through us. But it's a choice, my friends. It's a choice, Facebook and YouTube. Just as you choose what you will have for lunch today, you choose whether you forgive. Up to you. But the benefits of forgiveness are eternal. When we are seriously hurt, it's a bigger challenge. I don't minimize it at all. The pastor not talking to you because he's busy is nothing compared to a child or a young person or a woman forgiving her dad for sexually abusing her. It's a whole different arena. But the principles are the same. And forgiveness can be instant when it's not an incident that has scarred your life and hurt your personality and your whole way of living. But a decision to start, take the first step, is the most powerful step. Because in those serious situations, to stay locked up in unforgiveness, you will never, ever reach your potential. And I know that abuse of young women and young men, children, girls and boys, abuse in marriage is an epidemic in our world. And I will be speaking to some people today that have suffered that sort of damage. But the principles are the same. As you take the first step and you make a decision in your heart and your mind, by the grace of God, I will forgive. I will let go of that offender, that abuser. And it will be something that you will do over and over and over by an act of your will until it becomes a reality and a release. God's grace will be there for you. God's love is there with you. And as you put down that cup of poison that maybe you've been drinking because of the pain, and I don't minimize the pain of abuse situations at all. I have ministered to many men and women who have suffered that. But as you say, I'm not going to continue to be bitter and unforgiving, the grace of God will zoom in. And as you continue to decide and by an act of your will forgive and forgive and forgive, one day you'll realize this is becoming real in my heart. And you know at a point that you will be free. Some healing like those major things. It took me 7 years to be healed of my husband leaving me after 40 years of marriage to go and live with a man. 7 years. So I know the steps. I know the decision that I made. I know that at first I couldn't even say those words. So my prayer was, God, give me the grace to say I forgive him. And then give me the grace to actually mean it. And as I did that, he will never withhold his grace from you, no matter what situation you're in. And as the days and the weeks and the months and maybe the years go by, you will know it's a reality. And you will stand in a place like me today when you know that you know that you know in the deepest part of you, you have forgiven. And you pray for the offender. That's when you know that it's happened. Don't come under condemnation if it doesn't happen instantly. Don't come under condemnation if you've suffered major drama and trauma in your life. If it doesn't happen instantly, the grace of God never runs out. The grace of God will be there right to the end of the journey if you continuing to forgive. In counseling, there are three words that people struggle to say. Sometimes it takes them weeks, months, years. Those three words are, I forgive them. And any counselor, and there may be counselors here or listening to this on the media, friends of mine that are counselors say those are the three words that people find the most difficult to say. But when it comes from your heart, when it comes from a deep conviction that God forgave me, I can do it too. It does become a reality in time. Things that stop forgiveness are wanting to punish and continue to punish that person. That's understandable. But it doesn't justify not forgiving and letting them go. And when you forgive someone for a major event in your life, you do not have to assume the same relationship with them. Because you're setting yourself free. Jesus has given you the liberty to be free from that pain, from the cup of poison that you may be drunk a long time expecting the other person to die. But he's also given you the liberty to live your life in freedom from that environment that caused you so much damage. Pride can stop us forgiving. Like, why would I forgive them? They're just scum. I've heard those words. And the truth is, they are terrible. Maybe scum is a good word for some people and the things they've done to people. But the bigger person, the person that knows God and knows his principles, is going to forgive. Human beings find it hard to do this. And I think that's why, one of the reasons why Jesus, hanging on that cross, the last moment of his natural human life, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I'm sure his example in that is well, why, and it's why it's well documented in the Word. Because we need it. We're humans. We're not going to come to that naturally. There is Jesus hanging on the cross with his flesh stripped off his body, blood having dripped out, dying the most shameful death. And a death on a cross was actually designed for shame as much as it was designed for torture and death. Naked. All of his manliness there on the cross. Bowels let go. Organs grotesque and swollen beyond recognition. A crown of thorns on his head. And even then, in that pain, he could say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. If he can do that for those torturers and those people that did that to him, why would you withhold forgiveness for anybody, for any situation? The Son of God, Jesus, he is our example. You can do it. You must do it. Forgive me my trespasses or my sins as I have forgiven those that sin against me. James 4 verse 6 says, if you ask for grace, it's available to you in abundant supply. Maybe you need to ask today for grace to forgive. Jesus is the one we follow. Can we play that song that I asked you for, please, Mew? Thank you. This does not need to continue any longer. I think I've said what the Holy Spirit wanted me to say. It is real, my friends. Facebook and YouTube, this is real. You can begin to walk in a whole new level of life, of love, of freedom, God's grace, if you will just let go and forgive. You can't erase history. It happened. All those things that have happened to me happened. But I can talk about them today and there's no pain. You know you're forgiven. You know it's gone when you can say these words about horrendous things that have happened in your life and there's no pain. That's the way we are meant to live. Forgive, forgiven, and forgiving. Can you play that song now, please, Mew? As we play this song, just quietly, thanks. As we play this song, she's got something very, hardest thing to give away, and the last thing on very real today, about forgiveness. It always goes to those I'm asking you deserve. To come to the altar the and do some business with God this morning. Pain they cause is just who do you need to forgive? Everything what have you hung on to for too long? What is fresh that you need to forgive today? Come. Let's all just close our eyes and bow our heads for a moment. Father, you have spoken this morning. Jesus, you have given us such an incredible example of forgiveness. And I pray for my friends in this room this morning, and I pray for the world watching on Facebook and YouTube, that forgiveness will flow, that grace will flow to forgive even the most horrendous things that may have happened to people. And Lord, I speak release to every soul that moves in accordance with your word, and that it accesses the grace and the beauty of God this morning to let go and walk in a freshness of forgiveness, or journey of forgiveness that will carry them through to a total conclusion in Jesus' name. If you want to come to this altar, I invite you to come. We're just going to play this song. Let it just go into your spirit. It's about forgiveness. And there's no shame in standing up and saying, I need to do this. It's actually real honor as you do. You can kneel, you can lie on the floor, you can do whatever you need to do. Do some business with God this morning. There's more than just my sister here. Do come. Free. There is no end to what its power do come this morning. Do. Thank you, Jesus. So let it go and be. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for touching these ones. Thank you for the freedom and the liberty that comes afresh to every life that's responded. The ones that are physically here and each of those that are watching this through the media. You walk into a new level of liberty and freedom. You walk into a new possibility of deeper relationship with God Himself. You may not realize at this moment actually what it's doing for you, but you're going to find such beauty around you and the new liberty and freedom you have that you didn't have before. You have found the guy with the key to get you unstuck. That man is Jesus Christ. That power is the Holy Spirit, and you have responded this morning. You've responded today, wherever you happen to be and whenever you happen to be listening to this. Continue living a life of forgiving quickly. And if you've taken a step on a journey this morning to forgive something horrendous that has happened in your life, continue on that journey. Take one step after another. That's how a journey is taken. And you will know that you to the end of that journey. You will know that it will finish by the grace of God. One day you will actually know that journey is over. And you will be freer than the mighty eagle that is the symbol of this great land of the United States of America. I thank you, Jesus. And I speak freedom. I speak freedom to my friends here. I speak freedom to you in Jesus' name. Freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Release the pain, Lord. Release that pain, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.